So I'm from Denver. I work for the Denver Public Health Department. I'm a family doctor, but I also work in the STD clinic, and I'm going to be speaking today on the prevalence of high-risk human papillomavirus types and abnormal cervical cytology among American Indian Alaska Native women in a U.S. cervical screening population, 2003 to 2005. I'd like to acknowledge the co-authors that are listed on the slide, some of whom are here today. So, a little background. In a recent review of cancer rates among American Indian and Alaska Natives, rates of cervical cancer are higher in American Indians and Alaska Native women than in non-Hispanic white women. Although there is a wide range of variation, with the highest rates in the northern and southern plains, overall American Indian women are 25% more likely to be diagnosed with cervical cancer, and the cancer is more likely to be diagnosed at a later stage. One strategy to decrease cervical cancer rates is widespread use of the HPV vaccine. As you know, HPV is found in 99% of all cervical cancers. The quadrivalent vaccine, which was released in 2006, includes the two most common HPVs found in cervical cancer, which are 16 and 18. In order for this vaccine to impact cancer rates, wide distribution among girls and women before the onset of sexual activity must occur. This vaccine has been well accepted in most of the American Indian communities. However, there were focus groups done in Alaska, Oregon, and New Mexico that revealed some doubt about the vaccine's effectiveness in the community. The main question that came up was whether the vaccine was protecting the right high-risk HPV among American Indians. Do American Indians have a different set of risk, high-risk HPV that could be making the vaccine less effective for their population? So the objective of this study was to examine the prevalence estimates of high-risk HPV among American Indians and Alaska Natives and compare this to other racial and ethnic groups to see if there were significant differences in both rates and type of high-risk HPV infection. We will also compare prevalence estimates of abnormal cervical cytology among American Indians to other racial groups to look for differences that might explain the higher cervical cancer rates found among American Indians compared to non-Hispanic whites. So, let's go through the methods. We used data from the HPV Sentinel Surveillance Project, I'll refer to that as the HSS Project. This was the first nationally based surveillance system that was designed to measure high-risk HPV prevalence in U.S. women. A broad sampling of women were recruited from January 2003 to 2005 when they presented for cervical cancer screening. The women were recruited from five cities, Boston, Baltimore, New Orleans, Denver, and Seattle. Recruitment took place in STD clinics, family planning clinics, and primary care clinics in every city. Two of the cities, Baltimore and Denver, also recruited teens. Methods for enrollment, data collection, and laboratory testing were standardized across all the Sentinel sites. I will only discuss the methods from this study that pertain to the data analysis we did from this very extensive data collection that occurred in the HSS project. When women were recruited from the Sentinel cities, they completed a demographic survey that included self-reported race. We used this self-report to stratify women into different racial and ethnic groups. Any woman who listed American Indian or Alaska Native as a race were included in our study group. The laboratory collection, let me spend a little time with this. Cervical samples for Pap testing were collected using their local method at the time of pelvic examination. A second sample, either conventional or liquid-based, depending on what they were doing locally. A second sample was taken using the Digene cervical sampler. An aliquot of this was removed and sent to the CDC for HPV detection using detection and typing based on L1 consensus polymerase chain reaction. The types detected by this method are listed on the slide. We then stratified our group by race and ethnicity. We calculated overall crude prevalence for high-risk HPV and crude prevalence estimates for strata by age, race and ethnicity, clinic type, and Pap tests. Because the prevalence of HPV infection differs significantly by age and clinic type, we use the total number of By clinic type, we indirectly standardized prevalence estimates, adjusting for age and clinic type, using the total of number of persons entered in the project from all cities as the standard population. Okay. So let's look at some results. So this is a table that shows race on the left. And our group of interest, the American Indian Alaska Native group, is on top. The middle is the N for the groups. And we have the American Indian Alaska Native on top. And then the underneath is the entire group, and then the breakdown of the rest of the group for numbers. And then, of course, on the right is the high-risk HPV prevalence. And as you can see, the American Indian Alaska Native group does seem to have a higher rate than the overall group. The crude prevalence estimates does show an increased rate, but compared to non-Hispanic whites, Hispanics, and Asian Pacific Islanders. And here's the non-Hispanic white group. But similar rates to the African American and our multiracial category. Now you can see that the American Indian group is much smaller than the rest of the other groups, and the multiracial group is also quite small. I'd like to spend a few minutes just comparing the demographics between the two groups, because I think it's important to understand why the rates may have looked that way. When comparing the American Indian group to the entire HSS group, there are some differences that are important. The HSS study was designed to have a broad range of patients, approximately evenly distributed between family planning, STD, and primary care clinics, and geographic distribution evenly distributed among the five cities. So while the HSS group achieved that, with the exception of they weren't at New Orleans, the recruitment was disturbed by Katrina, so they weren't able to get as many people there as they wanted. Our American Indian group, half of them were from family planning clinics, one third from STD clinics, and only a sixth from primary care clinics. And more than 75% were located in Seattle or Denver. So we do have some geographic and clinic differences between the two groups. In addition, our American Indian group was about 67% under age 30, whereas the HSS group was about 60%. So this is important because HPV does differ. Younger patients tend to have higher rates of HPV. Patients who are seen in STD and family planning clinics tend to have higher rates of HPV. And there were actually some geographic differences as well when we looked at the big overall study. So we did adjust the data for age and clinic type to try and get rid of those confounders. So again, this is let's look at the column on the left is race or ethnicity. The column in the middle is high-risk HPV, and let's focus on that. So as you can see, the American Indian Alaska Native rate was 29%. But once we adjusted, the rates were no different for non-Hispanic whites or for multiracial. There does seem to be a lower rate in and there was no difference for African Americans either. Hispanics and Asian and Pacific Islanders, there did seem to be a slight, statistically significant different lower rate, but the absolute rate, as you can see, is not much different. If you look on the far column, the high-risk HPV 16 and 18, the two that we're interested in terms of what's preventable in the vaccine, you can see that the standardized rates show that American Indian and Alaska Native have no higher rate of 16 and 18 or lower rate. It's about the same across all racial groups, with the exception of our multiracial category. And again, it's a small category with wide confidence interval, so it's hard to know how to interpret that. Let me briefly spend a minute on our Pap smear data. This is adjusted rates of abnormal Pap smear. Now, we've defined abnormal Pap smear as atypical squamous cells of undetermined significance or higher. And what we found is that the American Indians had no greater likelihood of an abnormal Pap than non-Hispanic whites in our group. There was the Hispanic and the multiracial group also had similar rates. Interestingly, and the Asian Pacific Islanders had lower rates, which was sort of consistent with what we saw in the other two slides. The African American rate was lower, and I don't have an explanation for that. It may be because of that we defined atypical squamous cells of undetermined significance as our rate of as our limit for abnormal Pap. And other studies may have used LSIL. This is our last bit of data. This looks at the prevalence of type-specific high-risk HPV in American Indians compared to the overall group. So this is the percent prevalence of high-risk HPV DNA found in American Indians versus the overall group. The American Indian bars are in yellow, and the rest of the group is in blue. The non-HPV type are listed on the bottom in order of descending prevalence for the AIAN group. As you can see, 16 is the most prevalent in both groups. Although there are some minor differences in descending order, the trend is similar for American Indians and the rest of the group. These graphs represent HPV infections. There were some women who had multiple infections. We did look at the two groups to see if there was some difference in the rate of multiple infection between the two, and there was no difference in the rate. So our conclusions were that the higher rate of cervical cancer cannot be explained by differing rates of high-risk HPV in our population. We found no differences in the prevalence of high-risk HPV or abnormal Pap tests identified between American Indians and non-Hispanic whites. We found similar prevalence of high-risk HPV 16 and 18 among American Indians and non-Hispanic whites, and we feel that this data is encouraging and that it reinforces the importance of providing wide coverage of HPV vaccine to all women, and we hope will increase the confidence of American Indian women in the vaccine's usefulness to their population. Now, this data does have some limitations. As you saw, it was a very small group. It's only 291 women. This was mainly urban. The recruitment was from city areas, and the highest rates of cervical cancer are found in rural IHS service areas, especially in the northern and southern plains. And the AIN group as well was the way we defined the group was that any listing of American Indian or Alaska Native was put into our American Indian group. So there were definitely multiracial or some women who were biracial in that group. But if you look at the urban population of American Indians, the statistic I saw was between 54 and 60% are single race American Indians, and about 40% that are more than one race. And we did not look at socioeconomic or health behavior, certainly risk factors that may be important to help look at some of this data that would be interesting to analyze. I'd like to acknowledge the people that worked on the HSS study and did the data collection that we were able to access. And I want to thank you for your attention. Yes?
Because there's so much variation.
Oh, yes.
And I just wonder if there's also variation in type of HPV.
The numbers were really small, so we really weren't able to break that down. When we found that almost 80% of our clients were either from Seattle. Oh, I'm sorry.
Speak into the mic. Sorry.
I forgot I'm supposed to use the microphone. Sorry. So the question was, could we look at geographic breakdown because there's such a variation in rates, STD rates by geography? And unfortunately, our group was about, as I mentioned, 75% of them were either from Seattle or Denver. And then when we did look at the breakdown by city, but there were just not enough people in the cells, if you know what I mean. So.
Well, and even if they were living in Seattle, Denver, it doesn't mean that they were from tribes around Seattle.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Another question is, Delph Schmidt?
Yes.
You were in contact with him?
I'm not, but I'm glad you mentioned him because I know there was a study done in the Northern Plains that Maria Bell did a few years ago looking at, I think she had almost 280 some women in her group looking at HPV rates. And I think he's doing work right now looking at his rates. I'm waiting for it to be published. I probably should talk to him and see what he's finding.
And the reason I'm concerned is that the results of that study were that there were other high-risk types of HPV that were not covered by the vaccine among the women in the plains, and that leaked out to the women in the plains, and then it was, well, why should we get vaccinated then if it's not going to protect us from the ones we're most high-risk at? And I'm wondering if you have a communication plan in mind to make sure you're going to get this information out to, you know, women, Native American women, to hear this.
Well, so what got me interested in looking in this was that I was lecturing in South Dakota and I heard that data and from Maria Bell, and I got that sort of sense from the community that maybe 16 and 18 weren't the right ones. But if you look back at her data, 16 and 18 still are the highest. And I think the idea that Native Americans have a different distribution doesn't really, it's not looking that way from this population. And so I think that the message needs to be, yeah, there may be some differences, but when you look at what's really being found in cancer, it's still 16 and 18. And it's really not that different from the rest of the group. So I'd like to communicate with them, yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
So unfortunately, we're out of time for this particular session, but if we have a little bit of time at the end, we'll come back and ask questions, or I'm sure Dr. Alfonsi will be
I'll be hanging
available
out.
And hanging out with you. Thank you.